1 Timothy 6, verses 11 to 21. The title is Take Hold of True Life. 1 Timothy 6, verses 11 to 21. It says, But you, Timothy, are a man of God, so run from all these evil things. Pursue righteousness and a godly life, along with faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight for the true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you, which you have declared so well before many witnesses. And I charge you before God, who gives life to all, and before Christ Jesus, who gave a good testimony before Pontius Pilate, that you obey this command without wavering. Then no one can find fault with you from now until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. For at just the right time, Christ will be revealed from heaven by the blessed and holy and only Almighty God, the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. He alone can never die, and he lives in light so brilliant that no human can approach him. No human eye has ever seen him, nor ever will. All honor and power to him forever. Amen. Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. By doing this, they will be storing up their treasure as a good foundation for the future, so that they may experience true life. Timothy, guard what God has entrusted to you. Avoid godless, foolish discussions with those who oppose you with their so-called knowledge. Some people have wandered from the faith by following such foolishness. May God's grace be with you all. Many years ago, I listened to a message. That was a preacher who was speaking to us. And while he was speaking and challenging us, he veered towards a direction. And he said we should be careful of 3 G's. And I thought it was the telephone company to start with. But I think it was just, abbreviation. And he started by talking about the first G, guys and girls. This was a meeting for adults, so it wasn't a young people's meeting. And he was explaining how, adultery, fornication has messed the lives of so many great people. Made a shipwreck of their ministries, truncated their destinies. He says, people say I'm old-fashioned. That's the preacher now. He says, but I'd rather be old-fashioned and make heaven than to be modern and go to hell. And then he went to the second G. It's beware of gold. Gold is material stuff. What people do these days to acquire gold is unheard of. I was reading the news, I think it was on Friday, and there's this lady I know. Not that I know her personally, but she's an entertainment person. who is always on, you know. And I saw the picture there. I don't think anybody here is as well dressed as the picture I saw. Very well dressed. The bag was shining. Small bag. But you know what she said? Or what they reported that she said? She said it's getting close to Christmas and she's available for 2 weeks. Available for what? She said, so anybody who is interested should come. This is someone well educated. All over. Everybody all over is reading that. And she said, you know what? A note of caution, that her taste is very high. And I thought, what is going on? What is going on? What people would do for gold? And the last G that the man of God spoke about was glory. Of course, I don't need to, you know, speak too much about that. Power. So after they've made the money, the next thing is the power. And you wonder, what are you going to do with all this stuff? Many people will do anything and everything to remain in power. And even though I'm not justifying it, I know that the trappings of power could be very intoxicating. But I thought I should just share that. Because in our daily pursuits, some of these things will come in. You might not be the mayor, but you might be the manager. And then you're exposed to power. The danger of all these things we've mentioned is that they don't satisfy. There's no satisfaction gained from these things. Gold, glory, guys, whatever it is, doesn't satisfy. In fact, what I say is that it is an addiction. You know, we talk about Solomon, 700 wives, 300 concubines. That was an addiction. It wasn't normal. And you might say, oh, how can anyone who has an addiction can hit that target, can even surpass it? I was reading about a sportsman recently. I won't mention his name because we're online. And it's not to bring anybody down, really. He had a wedding in the Caribbean. Spent about $1.5 million to import flowers and all sorts. And within 5 years of the marriage, he had 120 affairs. Within 5 years. Of course, he lost the marriage. His career came to a decline. And he checked himself into a rehab. You see, the challenge of Solomon, how did he get to 1,000? 1,000 starts with one. From the moment he had an alliance with Pharaoh and he married Pharaoh's daughter, the door opened. I'm sure he wasn't thinking about, but it only takes one. And then it keeps going. And I tell our children, and I'm speaking to the young people as well who are here, that when they say try it, don't try it. Because if you try it, you will keep trying it forever. Unfortunately, many people in the church are also battling with addiction. Not this church, but generally, battling with addiction. There was a pastor in America that I read his book. I can't remember the guy's name now. He runs a men's ministry. And he was sharing it in the book that, you know, another men's ministry went for a retreat. And they took all the men to the retreat. And when they finished, the hotelier asked them that, where did you say you came from? He said, well, from, you know, so and so church. We've come with our men to do spiritual retreat. The hotelier said the amount of adult channels that people were watching throughout the time that they were there, never been. These are people who have come from church for retreat. And this is the nature of addiction. So Paul speaks to Timothy and he says, you are different. Run from all these evil things. Don't walk. Run. The Bible commands us that we should flee from every appearance of evil. Don't be like Samson. With the jawbone of an ass, he killed 1,000 people. I keep wondering, after he killed 100, what? The other people should have had a short meeting and said, this guy will kill 1,000,000. But they stood there and he kept knocking their head and they kept dying. Samson, he uprooted the fence, the gate. He didn't uproot it and put it on. He now went and put it on top of a mountain. Of course, the other people just said, you're this one. But spiritual things are different. So he met this lady, he thought it was a mature thing. No. And the lady kept telling him, tell us your secret so that we can bind you, so we can hand you over. She didn't hide. She kept on telling him word for word. And he thought it was a joke, that he would just wriggle himself off. But unknown to him. If Paul could be speaking to Timothy and advising him to flee, I think that advice also is appropriate for us. The challenge here is that when we look at what is at stake, we'll find out that, is it really worth it? Because eternity is at stake. For these things that don't satisfy, they don't satisfy. Eternity. Would I lose eternity for this? Isaiah 55 verse 2 says, why spend your money on food that does not give you strength? Why pay for food that does you no good? What is not satisfying? Why are we indulging in it? Jesus told his disciples in John 6:63, the Spirit alone gives eternal life. Only the Spirit. Human effort accomplishes nothing. And the very words I have spoken to you, they are Spirit and they are life. The Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. And the very words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. So that tells me that the key is the spirit. Our human efforts will not get us anywhere. It is the spirit that is the trigger. It is the spirit that makes things happen. And that's why Paul rebuked the Galatians in Galatians 3:2-5. And he says, let me ask you this one question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying the law of Moses? Of course not. You received the Spirit because you believed the message you heard about Christ. How foolish can you be? After starting your new lives in the Spirit, why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? Have you experienced so much for nothing? Surely it was not in vain, was it? I ask you again, does God give you the Holy Spirit and work miracles among you because you obey the law? Of course not. It is because you believe the message you heard about Christ. So Paul is saying here that when you become a believer, one of the first things that you receive is the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit plays a very critical role in that new life that we're just starting. But now he was querying them and said, look, you started by faith, receiving the Spirit. How can you think that you can accomplish perfection on your own? How? You see, the Holy Spirit has been given to us for so many reasons, but one of the reasons he's been given to us that he would act as a guide. A guide until we see Jesus in eternity. Why would anyone want to ditch a guide? Who is a guide? Someone who helps you, who shows you the way, so that you don't wander away. You don't wander away from eternity. So he has been given to us as a guide, as a helper, to help us finish strong and finish well. It also has been given to us so that we don't wander back into those things in Galatians 5:19-21. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Because the Bible says that those who continue living like that will not inherit the kingdom of God. So the Holy Spirit has been given to ensure that he guides us away. And that's why the man was speaking, Paul, he says, flee and pursue righteousness. Pursue godliness. How can the Holy Spirit guide us? If truly he is our guide and is our helper, how can he guide us? We must understand that the Holy Spirit wants a relationship with us. It's not a, you know, jackpot thing, just go formula, you know, just do something and then things happen. No. So we must be prepared that we're going into a relationship with him. That's the first step. Because if you just dabble into it, in and out, it doesn't make sense. You won't get anything out of it. But once you've made up your mind, because the Bible says that can two walk together except they be in agreement? It's a walk. It's a relationship. It's a long walk. But the Holy Spirit wants to walk with us because he is our guide. So once you've sorted that out in your mind and you're saying, yes, I want this relationship. I want him to guide me. I want him to help me. There are so many things that I don't know. I was reading Ecclesiastes yesterday. Solomon was speaking. He says, chance is what will determine everything. Being at the right place at the right time. And I'm thinking, how can anyone be at the right place at the right time if the Holy Spirit doesn't help you? If I said, what will happen at 5 p.m. today, can anyone tell me? No one can. But the Holy Spirit can, because he knows the end. So once you've sorted it out and you say, look, yes, I'm ready. I want to have a closer walk with the Holy Spirit. Then the next thing you need to do to your guide is that you need to draw closer. Draw closer. Draw closer. Because now he's your guide. He wants close proximity. It's like you trying to, you know, show me where Upington Station is and I'm far away. I've got to be close to you so you can, you know, signpost me. So you've got to draw closer. Draw closer to him in fellowship. In fellowship. Studying the Bible, praying, worshiping him, serving Jesus. And then when we draw closer to him, then he begins to speak to us. Don't think that you can hear his voice when you're not close. It's not possible. You're miles away anyway. You've got to draw closer. And then he begins to speak to you. Hearing God is a great privilege. You know what man is looking for in life is direction. It's direction. This nation, United Kingdom, is direction. That's all this. What is going on right now is direction. A whole nation at a standstill. And yet, God can speak. God can speak to you. God can speak to me. So indeed, it is a great privilege to hear the voice of God. And it's not out of reach. It is within our reach. So we should strive to form a relationship with him so that we can be closer to him and hear him. And when we start to hear him, then he expects us to obey him. Again, you can see why Paul was saying here that pursue righteousness. Pursue righteousness and a godly life. We don't want to wander back into those evil ways. The Spirit of God, when we start to fellowship with the Spirit of God, the more we surrender to the Spirit of God, the more the character of the Holy Spirit begins to rub off on us. So we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. The more we spend time with him in submission, the more he begins to change our appetite. And then we can begin to practice these things. We can begin to exhibit these things. The outward manifestation of the Spirit, which is the fruit. However, there's still a problem. Because the Bible says that there are two forces fighting all the time. There is the Spirit of God that wants to take complete control of our lives. And there is the flesh. So there is the contention all the time. And that's why at times you want to do the things you want to do, but you are not able to do it. You know what you ought to do, but for some reason it's not happening. It's because there is a battle. And many, many, many have challenges in this area. Paul told Timothy to fight the good fight for the true faith. This is the good fight. It's a fight that we must fight and we must win. But how do you fight to win? How do we fight to win? Because there's this contention. We are being pulled here, being pulled there. The people I was speaking about before, there are people who want to serve God. But for some reason, the addiction is pulling them. The Spirit of God is pulling them. What must be done? The Bible says that those who belong to Christ Jesus, those who belong to Christ Jesus, those who belong to Christ Jesus, they have nailed their sinful passions and desires on his cross and crucified them. They, not we, the ones who belong to Christ, they are the ones who have done it with the help of the Holy Spirit. That is the secret. They have nailed those sinful passions and desires. Nailed it to his cross and crucified them. But the challenge here is many of us, we nail many things, but we keep a bit. We keep malice for the rainy day. You know what the rainy day is? King's Church, you don't know what the rainy day is. The rainy day is when you and your wife, you have problems and you remove the joker. So you will nail every other thing but malice. Keep it. What are you holding on to? Those who belong to Christ Jesus, they have nailed all their sinful desires and passions. Now, how can we sustain victory without allowing it to slip off our hands? Paul says, pursue righteousness and godliness and the fruit of the Spirit. Fight the good fight. And hold on to that which has been entrusted into you. How can I hold on to this? The Apostle Paul himself said something which I found very strange. He says he subjects his body. He makes his body his slave. He trains the body like an athlete so that having preached to others, he will not be disqualified. Which means that constantly we must put this body under subjection. And 2 Peter 1, 5-9 says, supplement to your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you are really among those God has called and chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Do these things. Keep developing. Keep adding. Love, brotherly affection. He says, you do these things, you will never, ever fall away. Let's do a quick recap. We started by talking about sin and addiction, and that we've been told that we need to flee from all these evil desires because they don't satisfy. We've talked about how the Spirit of God is the trigger that will guide us and lead us into eternity. We've talked about how we can nail all our sinful desires and passions on the cross. We've talked about how we can develop and add to ourselves so that we can receive a grand entrance into eternity. But something comes to mind, because Paul was speaking to Timothy and he said, teach those who are rich not to rely on their wealth. And I thought, the same Paul spoke, I think earlier on, he says, we came to this world with nothing. And we leave this world with nothing. And I thought, that's true anyway, like I didn't know. If they needed our money in heaven, then it would have been easy that when someone dies, they would pack all the money and the assets. But the border control in heaven, they will not allow you, because it's contraband. So it's not meant for heaven, it's meant for here. I just thought about it. It can't be meant for there. All that has been given to us is meant for here. They won't let it go. So what are we doing with what we have? Are we reaching out to the needy? My brother preached powerfully well about it last week. The year is running to an end again. I know we do, I don't know whether we'll do it this year. Pastor would normally, you know, it's an opportunity. And in King's Church, we try to be very intentional. And the church in the home we had on Friday, I was speaking with my children. I said, let's start to think. Who can we reach out to? Who can we reach out to? It doesn't have to be anything big. It's because when you do those things, you are building treasure for yourself where it matters. The rich man came to meet Jesus. And Jesus said, okay, you want to follow me? Go and sell everything you have. Give to the poor. And then follow me. The man said, no way. In conclusion, eternity is around the corner. How are we living our lives? All I have said today, it might not necessarily matter if you don't have the first relationship with Jesus. That's the first thing that you have to, first of all, the first hurdle. Because without the Spirit of God, it's an accident waiting to happen. It is the Spirit of God that will help and guide you into eternity. If you have not made peace with God, that is the first step. All these other things we've spoken about are additional things. But the first step is that you have to say, "Yes, Lord, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me of my sins." The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. God can never be a liar. He says, "Let God be true. Let every man be a liar." The Bible says it is impossible for God to lie. You are here this morning, and all I've been saying is strange to you, and I understand that. Because you are not in a relationship with Jesus. I believe today is your day. God is giving you an opportunity. God is giving you a chance. God is saying, "Yes, I want to make peace with you." God spoke about Solomon. We were talking about it yesterday. Beloved of God, Jedidah, God called him. Solomon was born in very, the circumstances of his birth was not really great. But God reached out to him and God says, "I love you." And God gave him another chance to reciprocate. God is saying to you this morning that he loves you. But he's waiting for you to say, "Yes, Lord, I come." If you're here this morning and you just want to make peace, life doesn't make sense any longer. The one that makes it happen is Jesus. And he wants you to come to the winning side. God is the only one who can allow you to be at the right place at the right time by his Holy Spirit. You're here this morning, you want to say yes to Jesus. I'm not going to call you. I'll just slip your hands because you're going to meet with us at the end of the service in that room to my left. You're here this morning. You want to say, "Yes, Lord, I just want to make peace. I want to know you more. I want you to be my Father, to be my Savior." Anyone who is here this morning, you want to raise up your hands quickly? You're here. You want to say yes to Jesus? Anyone here? Anyone? God bless you.